Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a letter from somebody whose partner has made his job his entire life. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners.
No, we are not professionals. We are not trained in any of this. So please take our advice as you see fit. We're only here to offer our humble musings to hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs about the incredibly rewarding but mostly confusing experience that is love. All right. Before we get into today's letter, we're going to do a quick check-in topic because it is Monday, and that's what we do on Mondays. This check-in topic is actually inspired by a post that I saw in Just Break Up's private Facebook group. I saw a post that was basically someone saying that they are dating, they're newly dating again, and that every single first date recently has asked them why their relationship ended. And, you know, for this particular person, the backstory of how their last relationship ended was a little traumatic and a little traumatizing and messy. And it's not necessarily something that they know how to answer gracefully or like when to answer. You know, when and how do you divulge messy or painful history without getting too personal, because this is also somebody that you like just met and you're trying to put like your good face forward. I don't know. I screenshotted it and sent it to Sam because I thought it was like a good question about like, you know, when do you share what on, you know, the first couple dates, how much do you share and how do you share authentically? Because like, I guess I'll just start the conversation by saying, I don't think it's a bad thing that we have not ideal relationship history when we come to dating, right? None of us are going to have a clean slate, or very few of us will have a clean slate. And many of us have relationships that didn't go the way we wanted them to, because that's how relationships work. You know, that's how we move through life. And I think, how about this? I would appreciate a world in which it's a little bit safer for us to be transparent about that, because, you know, your history, I want to know about it. Your hardships make me know you better. So that doesn't like necessarily turn me off or scare me in any way. But I do recognize that when you're the teller of the story, you know, when somebody says like, well, you know, what happened to your last relationship? Why did it end? And you, it might be painful to talk about, or it might be, you might feel a little bit more vulnerable than a first date sort of conversation. I'm not really sure how to navigate that. So I thought it'd be a good conversation to unpack in the check-in topic.
For sure. I think that this is like really real. Like, I think the idea of like, you know, you don't want to go into like your deepest, dirtiest secrets with somebody on the first date. Although like, I don't know, maybe that could be fun.
Yeah.
And as somebody who's like a pretty blunt person about my own like stuff, I have like reached the point where I just am like zero qualms about like, yeah, you want to talk about my dead dad? I'll talk about my dead dad. Right. Yeah. Like, you want to talk about like that horrible breakup that I had? Like, I'll talk about it. Right. Like, I have come around to the idea of like actually talking about this stuff as if it's not weird or bad or too much is actually really helpful for me as somebody who thinks that like a lot of myself is like weird or bad or too much for people to be able to handle. And that actually does like a lot of self-policing of like what I tell people. But I also think that like, you know, you can certainly name that things didn't end well without necessarily going into every like nitty gritty detail of it. And like, there's nothing wrong with being honest about like what your most recent dating experience has been. So if somebody's like, hey, how did your last dating experience end? You can say like, well, it didn't end well, actually. There was like a lot of stuff that happened. And like, you know, I'll get into it with you like more later if you're interested. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, just to suffice it to say that, like, it didn't, yeah, like, it didn't end very well. And, like, I don't feel like this is going to be, like, a good conversation for us to engage with right now, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, the details of that are, like, way too nitty gritty. And, like, maybe someday we'll get there. But, like, for right now, like, just know that it wasn't great or whatever, right? And I think that most people are probably going to be able to hear that. And if they're not able to hear it, then, like, do you want to be dating somebody who can't hear that you had a bad breakup and, like, not be like, oh my God, this is too much. You know what I mean?
I think the other layer to it is we've been taught in, I think, a generally productive way as of late that, like, if somebody trash talks their ex, like, that's a little bit of a red flag. You know, like, I've been taught, you know, if a dude says his ex is crazy, I'm going to be like, well, what did you do to make her feel crazy? You know what I mean?
Which is understandable and justified.
It's not a one size fits all thing. It doesn't work universally. But I think that's another thing that's at play here is that people feel like, you know, I was just sitting here thinking when you were talking, I was trying to imagine myself in a first date and I was trying to imagine myself at different points in my life. Like, after when I first started dating Willow, after my last boyfriend who cheated on me a ton, I had no problem talking about what went down there because I think, you know, I felt like I was on the right side of history, so to speak. I think if I was on the other side, you know, in different points of my life where like a relationship ended because I was unfaithful or I wasn't a good partner or whatever, I think that would feel... I would be afraid of putting like that bad side of me out there. And I also like, I think there's like a stigma might be too strong of a word, but there's a little bit of a stigma around like trashing your exes. But, you know, in the posters, the person who made the post on the Facebook group in their experience, it was like very traumatizing and like, you know, How do you decide how to unfold some of that, especially if it's like was like an unsafe or a really toxic relationship?
You don't have to say everything up front, but I do think it's important for us to be able to talk about our past relationships and how what we've experienced in those relationships is being brought forward into our current ones, right? Like, not in a way of like negating or excusing our own behavior, right? But in like a way of like around like accountability to name our own patterns around things, right? Like, oh, well, you know, when my ex would say that, what he actually meant was this. And like, so when you're saying this, like, it's making me think of that, right? Like, that kind of stuff can be really helpful to be able to name for ourselves. So I don't think we should like avoid it at all costs. But I also totally understand that like, we don't need to get into every detail of it on a first date. And I think, but I do think it's okay to be like, even if you're the one who was like, you know, because in so many relationships where breakups are messy, like it's not that one person was the terrible person and you were the, and like one person was the good person, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Like in toxic situations, many of us behave badly because like they're toxic. And so I think it's okay to also name some of that too, right? Like, it ended poorly. Like, I wasn't the best person I could be. They weren't the best person they could be. And, like, there was a lot of stuff there
that's
like,
so
I don't want to get into the detail
like,
of.
Like, I just want to say that, like, right? That's like, such an attractive thing to say. I would be like, wow, if you have the emotional self-awareness that you were not, quote, your best self in this relationship, I'd be like, well, let's go.
Yeah, right? And being like, yeah, so there's, like, stuff I'm learning about myself. And, like, you know, there's stuff I'm paying attention to, for sure, in how I'm going to, you know, continue forward with dating. Like, I think that speaks really well of people. And, you know, we don't need to get into the nitty-gritty of it for us to actually have, like, be able to share a profound truth about our experience of something that I think we should tell people because people deserve to hear it from us.
Yes. And we need to have accurate representations of what relationships look like, which is sometimes they're not as pretty as the things we see on TV. I also want to add that like, I'm a recovering oversharer. She says like 5.5 years into a podcast where you all know my personal details. And I think I'm a recovering oversharer because I learned at a young age that that's how, you know, one of my parents learned to feel loved is to be listened to, you know, like to share and be affirmed in that sharing. And also, like, you know, I'm a poet, I'm a Gemini. Like I can be very outgoing. And I think I learned at a really young age that I had to have an explanation for things, and I had to have, I had to be entertaining, and I just learned that, like, that this was a way to be affirmed is by sharing, but it wasn't always it was often at an expense. Right. And so I'm just in my adult years now, I'm learning that not everything needs to be explained right away, and not everyone is owed an explanation. And I think in these first couple dates, in tandem with everything that Sam and I have said already, I would just say, like, it is perfectly normal and okay and reasonable for you to say, oh, it ended, it's kind of a long story, or like, I don't really feel, I'd rather not talk about it. I'd love to share with you at another time, but I'd rather not get into it right now. I'd like to keep it in the past, or whatever you want to say. I think Sam had a great script earlier. I guess I want to explicitly state that for the people pleasers out there, and for the people who are maybe recovering overshares like me, is that, like, it's okay to keep things close to your heart sometimes. That doesn't mean you're being disingenuous, and that doesn't mean that you're keeping something from someone. You're just, you are allowed to have privacy around your personal life.
You know, when I talk about my dad, right, like, there are different levels of consent that I am, like, giving and receiving from people about, like, how much information they want to hear about my experience of it. And there's, like, a certain level where it's like, I will not, like, I'm not going to lie about this. You know, like, if somebody asks me, I'm going to tell them the explicit truth about what happened. But then, like, what are the level of details, and, like, how is that? And, like, I get to decide how much those details are divulged based on, like, the types of questions people are answering or asking me, like, the vibe that I'm getting from them, right?
Like, are they comfortable? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that that's important to me to say, is, like, own the truth of what happened, right? Like, don't deny that to yourself or to other people. Like, that's fine. And then it's okay to also have, like, and here's the need to know, right? Here's what you get access to when I have developed a level of trust with you, right? And that's not withholding or, like, being, or, like, lying or not telling the truth. It's about, like, being intentional about, like, the truth is the truth. It's not changing. But, like, the detail, the in-depth analysis, like, that stuff is only reserved for people who have, like, one access to that by showing that they can hear it without judging, or by asking the right questions, or whatever it might be to help indicate to you that there's somebody who's worth trusting with something that might be difficult to talk about.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful.
All right, let's get into today's letter. Today's letter comes from Confused and Mostly Lonely, whose pronouns are she, her, who is writing from New Territory, USA. I, 27 female, and my partner, 25 male, have been together for going on 3 years now. In the beginning of our relationship, we were both fresh out of college and had met at a small serving job. Over 3 years, we have had some major life changes. After debating his future and ultimately deciding not to go to medical school, my boyfriend ended up accepting a job in another state working for a corporate dental group. For about 6 months, we did long distance. After talking about the future and what we both wanted, I found a job in that new city that he was in and moved there to follow him. For context, we don't currently live together, as we both thought that that would be best at the time. Now we have been living in the same city for around 7 months, and even though we are closer in distance, I feel further away from him than ever. My problem is, my boyfriend has made his job his entire life. This has become so extreme that he is taking work calls on the weekend, not getting done with work until sometimes 9 o'clock at night, and starts meetings at 7:30 in the morning. No, I'm not worried that he is cheating. I know his boss, and for safety reasons, we share locations. He is also, most of the time, quick to respond or answer calls. However, this has obviously started deeply affecting our relationship. I have communicated with him about how it makes me feel and how he seems so distracted when we are together. He swears that his dedication to work is for our future, but it doesn't feel like that. He doesn't remember simple things and has almost started weaponizing incompetence when it comes to simple tasks. At the same time, when he does come over, he falls asleep so quickly, and before he falls asleep, he's on his phone claiming that it is him distressing. I love that he loves his job, and I know deep down his intentions are good and that he does truly love me. We're talking about marriage, moving in together, and our future, but he tells me to be patient while he's in this part of his life. I'm really trying to, but I feel like he isn't actually hearing me when I express my concerns and desires for us. TMI, but this has also completely killed our sex life. I don't feel emotionally connected, so I don't feel sexually connected. How do I navigate this? Should I continue to wait for him to figure out his future and be patient? Or am I wasting my time on a connection that used to be strong but now doesn't work as we have become different people? For more context, his dad is a doctor and also a workaholic. So I do fear that this behavior won't change, and I don't know if I can live with that. I'm sorry for the incredibly long letter. It was not incredibly long, I promise. I love you both so much. Any advice, insights, or musings would help me greatly. Thank you for reading my letter.
Oh, my darling. Thank you so much for writing and trusting us with this letter and for listening. Yeah, I think this is a really tricky conundrum, or a pickle, as many say, that I think a lot of people will relate to this. I feel like you're in this relationship, you're in this quote season of busyness or deprioritization. That's a word. Sure. You're in this time of your relationship in which you don't feel prioritized, and your partner's saying it's temporary, it's for our future, and I'm still here. I'm still in it. Right. And you're saying, I don't know if that's enough. And I think if not in the same situation, many people across the world are going to relate to this letter, because it's this, should I stay or should I go? Because is this indicative of a problem, or is this indicative of an incompatibility, like a problem that we can fix versus a core incompatibility of a relationship? You know, do you want to be in a relationship with a workaholic? Can you hang with that? You know, will it be enough for you? Or is this just a growing period where you and him need to learn how to fill up your cups in a better way for the times in which he's going to be busy or whatever? I don't have a clear answer, but I have a couple things to offer to hopefully, you know, give you a different perspective or give you a strategy to approach this. But first, I just want to say this is hard. This is hard to discern what the right decision is. And we're going to get more into that. But first, we're going to take a very quick break. Spring has sprung and summer is just around the corner. Packing your bag with sunscreen, your emotional support water bottle, and that steamy beach read. But wait, this year there's a new kind of essential that's right at your fingertips. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups.
And get this, there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era, historical fiction, my absolute favorite, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you will always find something new to explore. Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction.
For listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. dipsystories.com/justbreakup.
All right. Welcome back. Confused. Thank you so much for writing to us. And I'm sorry that you're in this position. You know, I think that, like Sierra said, I think this is like a kind of a common thing that happens in relationships, both about this like work thing that's happening, right? Where one person is like working all the time and the other person's like, wait a minute, what about us? But I also think that this kind of speaks to what happens when we have like different perceptions of how relationships should
yeah,
be working.
And how things are landing and yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And I really appreciate that you have gone to your partner about this and said like, this is how this is landing on me, right? Like it's making me feel unappreciated. It's making me feel like you're not, you know, you're not paying enough attention to us and that we're like not really together. And I, you know, totally also get that he's like, I'm doing this for you, right? Like I'm trying to think about our future relationship and setting us up for success in the future. And like, you know, I think that probably a lot of young men, especially young men whose parents are doctors, have probably heard that, like, you know, it's your job to have a good job, like be really focused on your career so that you can provide for a family, right? And we can unpack all of the misogynist bullshit around that, absolutely. And that doesn't mean that that's not like an important worldview that your partner might be holding about like what relationships should yeah. look like. And these two worldviews, these two ideas of like what relationships should look like are in opposition here, right? Like mm-hmm. you're saying like, this is how it's landing on me. And he's like, yeah, but this is what I mean. And that, and yeah. like,
that's why this situation is so tricky. I think because yeah. it's not like your boyfriend is a bad guy in this, and, but you're not getting your needs met. And then you're also like, but like, is this a period of not getting my needs met, or is this the relationship I'm signing up for? You know, so it's like, it's very confusing. I am confused.
You, like the letter writer, are confused. Yes.
I think I would like to start with something because I had this like epiphany when I was reading the letter first that sort of helped me get some footing in my feelings about this. And it's sort of related to the thing that we always say, like trusting is like it's easier to trust a trustworthy person, or like trust is easy when the person is actually doing what they say they're going to do. I think similarly, and this is a little bit inspired by my personal life, which I'll get into in a second, but similarly, I think patience can go a long way when it's like fed and nurtured, like meaning if you were getting your cup filled every month, like every couple weeks you had really quality time with your partner, you would be able to go longer without that quality time. Those nights where he's on his phone or he's fallen asleep early, that would be fine because you have that reservoir of love and nurturing to pull from when he is unable to give it to you. Like, I think in situations like this, I have historically had a hard time figuring out what to say or do because again, there's no like hard villain here. It's just these different opposing worldviews and relationship styles or whatever. Obviously, like I want to affirm the listener's desires to get her needs met, you know, but something that shifts my perspective is how long we can go without being fed when we've been given a really good meal every once in a while in a good way. And I don't mean it like, I just reminded myself of the metaphor we do of like, somebody's giving you crumbs, you know, you deserve to have a whole meal out there. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying like, let me just give the example from my real life. So my wife and I, we have a toddler. Like our quality time looks a lot different now because we have less brain space. We're more tired. We've got somebody like my toddler's new thing is to just yell mommy over and over and over again until I turn and look at her and say, what?
That's the cutest like, thing I've ever heard.
It is infuriating.
Oh, absolutely. I have a cat that also does the same thing where he just meows at me until I pay attention to him. And yeah, I want to like, scream at him yeah, sometimes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The problem is then I say, what is it? And she'll be like, mommy, mommy, mommy. Like she still wants me to like touch her. And so like, anyway, this is all saying so like, I have less to give and I'm less able to receive, yada, yada. And my wife and I have been talking a lot about like trying to prioritize dates or at least, intentional alone time. And at first, like we weren't seeing eye to eye on it because my wife was like, we live together. We both work in the same house. Like we're getting a lot of time together, you know? And I was like, it's different laying in bed together on our own phone, like before, like in the hours between my child going to sleep and us falling asleep, it's different than us going out to eat together and sitting together and talking about things that aren't logistics or talking about things that aren't the day to day. Right. And when we do that, like literally just the other day, Sam was sick. And so my work day opened up. And so I went and worked at a coffee shop. Cause we
you're welcome.
We rescheduled recording and I went to a coffee shop and then I met my wife at her office. She goes to her office a couple times a week and we had lunch together in her office. And it was literally the highlight of our fucking month because we felt flirty. We felt like we were so happy to see each other. We had great organic conversation, even though we were just sitting there eating our lunch and we both of us were like sort of working. It was so nice. And we both expressed the sentiment of like how our cups felt filled up after that and how that intentional time away from the baby, away from the house, even the chores, you know, it makes us last longer. Like the next month, I don't need to go on a date, right? Because I feel filled up in that way. This is all to say to our letter writer, your patience and understanding of this time, this busy time, this time in which what he has to give or offer you is limited. I bet you $1 billion that your patience could be spread a long way if it was nurtured, if it was fed, if it was affirmed. Meaning, I'm telling you, ask him for intentional time. No phones, no work. I don't know what your schedule is like, but like our schedule is like, we're lucky if we could do one date night a month. I don't know if that's what you're working with, but let me pretend that it is. If we had one date night a month, that would make me feel so affirmed because I would look forward to it. I would plan around it and I would then carry the light of that date, you know, the warmth of that date and that connection through the next hard month, right? We've got a really busy month coming up and I'm for sure going to get a date in before that really busy month because I know I'm not going to be able to connect emotionally with her in the same way.
I think what is actually really important about the example that you gave and that I think you're like sort of talking about as like maybe missing also in what's happening with the letter writer is that like also you and Willow have a shared goal around why things are difficult right now.
Oh my God, that is such a good thing right? Like, to point out. Yes.
Like you two both consented to having a child and knowing that would be really disruptive of your relationship with the goal of like, yeah, at some point it will get easier because you know, Temple will be able to take care of herself in different ways than she currently is in this moment. Right. And like, you know, you both signed up for this and you're both like, and we know it's important to invest.
And we know
it's
temporary and we know. Yep. For sure. I think that's such a good thing to point out.
And I think that that's kind of what's missing here is that like your partner is assuming that you both have a shared understanding of like what your relationship future should look like and what the steps to get there are, right? Which is like him working all the time in order to like, I don't know, get that promotion, like make enough money for you to be successful, whatever that thing is. And again, we can unpack some of the the things around that too, right? Like we are we're an anti-capitalist podcast here. And we also know that like that sort of mind or that sort of worldview is important to people. Right. And you're saying, well, we're not going to get to that future unless we spend time in the present nurturing this relationship in a meaningful way. Right. And the issue is that like, he's not hearing that part. He's only thinking in his own sort of world mindset of like, yeah, I am deciding that this is what our relationship is going to look like until it's better, until the future when I make enough money or whatever it might be. And I think that that's really not helpful. I don't think that that makes for a sustainable relationship to have one person in the driver's seat who like knows the route and the outcome and the other person sitting in the passenger seat being like, I don't agree that we're going there though. Right. Like we haven't decided that we're going to that place. I just got in the car thinking we'd figure it out together. Right. Like that doesn't make for a sustainable relationship. At least sounds like it's not working for you, confused. So like, I think that it's important for you all as you're thinking about like, these conversations, when he says, I'm doing this for us, I'm doing this for us, for you to say, it doesn't feel like you're doing it for us. And there's not going to be an us in the future if we don't spend time nurturing what needs to be nurtured in the present, right? Like, you're telling me that, like, however many years down the road, we'll be happy, but we can't get to that happy place unless we also figure out how to keep ourselves going in the current moment. And, like, if you want to work, like, that's great. Like, maybe that is. Maybe that's the thing you're okay with, right? Like, him working all the time, as long as you're, like, getting some of your own needs met, then, like, that needs to happen. I will also say, like, if you are not interested in being in dating a workaholic, which I think is also really understandable, then, like, it sounds like this man isn't for you, right? Like, it sounds like he, like, lots of things have been instilled in him around his devotion to his own work. And, like, again, I'm not trying to disparage him in any way. And it sounds like that he's not interested in something else, right? Like, he's, like, pretty convinced that this is the thing that he needs to be doing. And so if that isn't something that you can be on board with, if you want somebody who's going to spend less time at work and spend more time with you, like, I don't know that this is the man for you, given what he's told you about his own priorities, his own values, his own worldview. And, like, that sucks for sure. Like, it's never fun when we have, like, a big incompatibility in relationship, especially 3 years in after having moved together. But I want to like, name that out loud so that we don't pretend like it's not an option, right? Like, so that we don't pretend like it's like, unspeakable or could never happen, right? Like, it might be that you two are just fundamentally different in where you want to spend your time and attention. And, like, that sucks, absolutely. But it's also okay. And it's okay to acknowledge mm-hmm. that and then make decisions based on that reality.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. And that's hard. That's tricky, you know? But you can go to him and say, you know, I'm willing to support you in this way, or maybe you're not. I'm just pretending you are, you know, either way, it's totally fine with us. Seems totally reasonable either way. You can go to him and say, I can be there for you and you need to reciprocate that for me in these ways, right? It's think about how much more capable of being loving and present and supportive and patient and all of those things, how easily that would flow if you felt like it was reciprocated. And that's really what I'm thinking about in this letter. All right, my darling, thank you so much for listening, for trusting us. We hope this helps.
Absolutely. We love you. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like more content from us, or if you would like access to our office hours, you can support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you'll get an additional bonus weekly episode. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod. Our next office hours are at 8 p.m. Eastern time on March 26th. That's a Tuesday. So if you want access to that office hours, sign up for Patreon now.
You can also slide into our DM, send us your favorite relationship memes. But most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of Duvide Media. Original music, recording, editing, producing, all magical things from our good friend, all magical things by our good friend, Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcast and music. And remember, patience can be easy when you can see clearly what you are being patient for, when you feel nurtured and supported in your own way. You can go with less for longer. You can move confidently in the directions of your dreams because you have that shared vision that you are both actively working towards. And if all else fails,
just break up.